weird stirring that I'm feeling down in my soul. I feel God's spirit telling me, prepare, get ready to go. Make sure your lamp is burning bright, no spot or wrinkle in sight. It's almost over, you're soon to be at home. I thank God for his stirring that I'm feeling down in my soul. I feel his spirit telling me, you better get ready to go. Make sure your lamp is burning bright, no spot or wrinkle in sight. It's almost over, you're soon to be at home. Lord, help me lay aside any weight that's holding fast to me. Please cleanse this waiting vessel to face eternity. With leaving time so close at hand, Lord, help me not to stray, but keep my eyes on you and walk the narrow way. I thank God for his stirring that I'm feeling down in my soul. I feel his spirit telling me, you better get ready to go. Make sure your lamp is burning bright, no spot or wrinkle in sight. It's almost over, you're soon to be at home. I thank God for his stirring at hand. Lord, help me not to stray, but keep my eyes on you and walk the narrow way. I thank God for his stirring that I'm feeling down in my soul. I feel his spirit telling me, you better get ready to go. Make sure your lamp is burning bright, no spot or wrinkle in sight. It's almost over, you're soon to be at home. I thank God for his stirring that I'm feeling down in my soul. I feel his spirit telling me, you better get ready to go. Make sure your lamp is burning bright, no spot or wrinkle in sight. It's almost over, you're soon to be at home. It's almost over, you're soon to be at home.
Holy Ghost poured it into me yesterday morning as Marlon and I was here in prayer together. And I don't think I've ever felt a sermon more richly and powerful than I felt this sermon. Listen to me. I want to give you the title, and I want you to hear it, because I want you to remember this sermon above anything I might ever preach. Above anything I might ever preach. I want to preach on groaning in the Holy Ghost. Groaning in the Holy Ghost. Can you hear those words? You repeat them. Groaning in the Holy Ghost. Groaning in the Holy Ghost. We're going to go for a text, and there's going to be two of them. Number one is in the book of Romans. In the book of Romans, chapter 8 and verse 26. What does it mean to groan in the Holy Ghost? What is groaning in the Holy Ghost? What effect will groaning have upon the church of Jesus Christ? How important is it that there be preachers and lay people groaning in the Holy Ghost? Well, go to Romans 8, and let's listen carefully. Don't be in a hurry for these texts. Likewise, the Spirit, that's the Holy Ghost, also helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings. Notice that word, groanings. With groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, I told you I was going to preach on groaning in the Holy Ghost. I want you to know it's a biblical word. Very biblical. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth. We need help in praying. helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us. The Holy Ghost maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now that's powerful. Man, that's powerful. And he that searcheth the heart. See, that's the Holy Ghost searching your heart and my heart. But he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. Because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. What a text of Scripture. Paul the Apostle telling us, and let's name the few things he tells us. Number one, he says we need help. We know not what we should pray for as we ought. How many of you are willing to admit that about your own life? You don't always know. That's why what I told you a while ago. Because I need you praying for me. I need you praying that the old man will keep a tender spirit and a humble spirit and a broken spirit, and that God will be my defense, not me. When I try to defend myself, I always make a mess. And Paul is saying, we don't know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Holy Ghost maketh intercession for us. Now, if he does it for us, he's got to do it in us, because he dwells in us. Maketh intercession for us with groanings. Are you listening? Everybody say the word groanings. With groanings which cannot be uttered. You don't know how to pray as deeply as you ought to, but the Holy Ghost knows how. The Holy Ghost is mightily and wonderfully sufficient. Now, the beautiful thing is when he prays not according to what you're thinking. Your mind don't know all the things you need to pray about, and you don't know the depth of them. But the Holy Ghost moves within you and upon you, and he makes intercession up to God according to what he knows you need. He knows the burden you're under. He knows the load the church may be carrying. He knows what's happening maybe in the school that we are so proud to have. He knows all of that, every bit of it. And so he takes the things he knows and for us and in us at the same time, he makes intercession up to God in our behalf. And let me tell you something. He doesn't need the right to move into that throne room with his prayers. He already has that right. He's a member of the triune God. Hallelujah. So when he makes an intercession for you, it goes straight to the Father. Is anybody hearing me? It goes straight to the Father. And so groaning in the Holy Ghost. Groaning in the Holy Ghost. If that truth could take a hold of every one of you this morning. If that truth could get a hold of Brother Marlon and Brother Derek and Brother Joe and everybody in the Brother Bob and Brother Jose, if that truth could get a hold of you ladies, every one of you, Don, yes, Brother Don, if that truth could get a hold of you, and we would all begin to let the Holy Ghost take over and pray in us, what would it do to this church? Does anybody know? If Brother James Lindsay had one capacity above everything else that ruled his life, was praying in the Holy Ghost. He didn't pray in the Holy Ghost a few minutes occasionally. He prayed in the Holy Ghost hours at the time. Am I right, Don? Hours at the time. And his praying is why people were so wonderfully here to honor him on Thursday, because they have a reason to memorialize a praying giant. I'm going to let you be seated, but I got one more thing to tell you. You'll like this, Sister Ginger. The Holy Ghost gave me this. I said, you know, Apostle Paul said in the Bible, in the book of 1 Corinthians, he said, chapter 14, I pray in the Spirit, or I talk in the Spirit. I speak in tongues, I think is the way he said it, more than you all. He was saying, more than anybody in the church, I am the one who talks in the Holy Ghost the most. If Brother Buck would have been there, he may well have looked over and said, well, I better make an exception here. Brother Buck prays in the Holy Ghost just as much as I do, because I think he did. He was that kind of Holy Ghost-filled man. And I said that at the funeral. And I like that thought, Sister Beth. Brother Buck is, of course, her uncle, so she has all reason to know this dear man. I want to tell you something, friend. By God's power, I want to become a man who lets the Holy Ghost groan inside of me. Now, before we pray, how many will raise your hand and say, I want to be one of them too? Father, I don't know how many really have this burden, because it's an overwhelming burden. And nobody ever groaned in the Holy Ghost, but they felt the pain of it themselves. The Holy Ghost doesn't use a vessel completely apart from their own emotion, but he uses the vessel in the process. He uses their emotion so that their lips are the lips that utter the words, and their heart is the force of faith and belief and confidence. But the Holy Ghost is the mighty supernatural person that makes it real. Makes it real. Somebody say hallelujah. Makes it real. Now you may be seated. Groaning in the Holy Ghost. Now I'm going to try to take my time, because I want this message to really make an impact. I'm hungry. I intend this week to send a text to every preacher I know and encourage him or her. Encourage them to begin to pray until the Holy Ghost prays. To do it in an extensive and wonderful way until we break through the church world, until we penetrate the darkness. I'm here to tell you, when we pray like we ought to pray, it becomes a powerful thing. It becomes an incredible thing. The words of the Bible is the best way I know to describe the power of this kind of praying. Okay? Would you go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3? I want to read you a couple of verses that amplify what I just read in the book of Romans. It really makes it all come alive. Listen now. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not, this is chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians, and it's verse 3. Chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Now, can we stop? Listen to me. Put your finger there on that. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Now, he's talking about spiritual warfare. He goes on to say things that you know. He's talking about the battle that we're in the spiritual realm. He's talking about the kind of forces that the devil brings against us. He's talking about the kind of hindrances there are out there everywhere you look. All kinds of hindrances. And he says, though we walk in the flesh, we live in the flesh. We don't live in the spirit. We live in the flesh. We walk in the flesh. We go to work. We eat meals. We go to church. We do all kinds of things. It's in the flesh. But we don't war after the flesh. When we go to prayer, we go into a different realm. We go into a different setting. We go into a different situation. We go into a situation to where the flesh has no power to change anything. Your flesh can't change a devil you're dealing with. Your flesh can't change a critical spirit that may come against you. Your flesh cannot bring an answer to your physical need. Your flesh can't heal you. There are certain healings in the body that are natural and built in, but we're talking about the supernatural edge. Your flesh can't do that. But though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. When it comes time to labor in prayer and in the business of the kingdom and in the work of God, even preaching, even singing, whatever we're doing in our physical body, we don't do it in the flesh if we expect results. We may walk in the flesh, but our battles in the Christian life are not in the flesh. They're in the spirit. Has anybody heard that? Let me see your hand if you know you heard that. How many have heard that? I want to make sure I'm getting through this morning, Brother Jose. I want to make sure it changes your life. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. The church world is woefully right there today. You talk to anybody you want to about prayer life, and they pray a few minutes occasionally, maybe every morning. Maybe a few minutes when they go to church. Maybe a few minutes here or there. They do these little bits of prayer. And nothing is changing. Preachers that I know preach for emotional sake. And using emotional powers. And they try to push you to an emotional edge. To get results from you. But that's not God's way. And that's not God's business. God's business is spiritual warfare. Now raise your hand if you understand that. If you do not learn to pray in the power of the Holy Ghost, you are not going to get no results in your prayer life. You're wasting your time. I hate to say wasting your time when you're talking to God, but that's what you're doing. We have got to learn, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Now let me go to the next verse. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. And listen to verse 4. You got to hear this. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. What is carnal? My hands, my lips, my feet. All the things that I may do in this body. All the things that I may do with my thoughts and my lifestyle. All of that. Though we walk after the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. But listen, but mighty. Would everybody say mighty? I'm not hearing it. I want everybody to say it out loud. Mighty, but mighty through God. Great day. You talk about powerful. That just overwhelms me. When the Holy Ghost fed this sermon into me yesterday morning or Friday morning, I don't really remember which it was. It got a hold of me so profound, I haven't been able to forget it. I've thought about it over and over and over, and I've committed myself to God to be a man of powerful prayer as I've never been before. That the mighty Holy Ghost of God may set on this preacher man, that he might not just be in me, but possess me. A lot of people have had a little touch of the Holy Ghost. They've spoken in tongues a few times, a few words. They've even had a few blessings when they got so excited, they was overwhelmed. But how many people do you know that are absolutely controlled by the Holy Ghost? That live in the power possessed by the Holy Ghost. No wonder the Bible talks about they that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. No wonder the Bible says we are of those who have no confidence in the flesh. We have no confidence in the flesh. Are you listening to me? I'm standing here before you this morning, and I want you to know this flesh of Joe Chambers, maybe 86 years old, and I may have learned a lot of things about God and His Bible. I may have learned a few things about people, but I'm here to tell you this old flesh is as helpless as it was when I started. It will not do anything that brings a great answer from God until I move beyond the flesh into the spirit realm and understand this weapon of ours is not carnal but mighty through God. Say those words, through God. Through God. Through God. Say it out loud, would you? Through God. mighty through God. Oh, does that not settle the question? If you want to be a mighty prayer warrior, you're going to learn to pray. You're going to learn to groan in the Holy Ghost. I remember a great sermon by Dr. Ray Hughes. He was one of the great pillars of the Church of God in my many years in that wonderful fellowship. I mean, I loved Ray Hughes. He was a man of God. And he was a young evangelist when he started out. And for some years, he'd done evangelistic work until he became the youth director. When I was saved in 52, he was the youth director in the Church of God, the first national youth director. But he was a man of prayer. And I'll never forget the night I heard him preach. I said, that night, if I'm ever a preacher, I got to preach like that man. I got to have what that man's got. What he told the story in his preaching of being at a place in revival, Chattanooga, Tennessee. And the revival was locked down tight. Couldn't move a thing. The whole church was just in a great calamity of doubts and fears. There was no move of anything for God. And they were having breakfast one morning. Right at the beginning of the revival. I believe he said it was a Monday morning. And his wife said, Ray, God just spoke to me. And I'm not going to eat breakfast this morning. She pushed the table, a plate back. She'd cooked breakfast and had it on the table. They're sitting together. And she said, I'm not going to eat breakfast this morning. I'm going to push it back. And she pushed it back, went to the bedroom and fell on her face. Ray Hughes said, I remember all day, every time I'd come in the house, she was squalling, she was groaning, she was back there, and everything in her was crying out to God as she was pleading the blood. Oh, she was seeking the face of God with all her heart. And he said, she stayed like that all day long, groaning in the Holy Ghost, groaning in the Holy Ghost. And he said, when we got to church that night and started singing, everything broke wide open. He said, a Holy Ghost revival broke out and stirred that community and stirred the city of Chattanooga, Tennessee. I don't remember all the words he told us, but he said, my wife groaning all day on her face with God made the difference in that church. And I'm looking at you, every one of you. I'm trying to think every one of you and your names. And I want to tell oh, somebody help me here. Hallelujah. There's not a one of you in this building that couldn't have the same effect on this church. If you'll get some courage about you and you'll start waiting on God and allow Osemedico, Aroma, hallelujah, groaning in the Holy Ghost. I'm not talking about just your emotions. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost has moved upon you and through you and in you. And he's groaning before the great God Jehovah and he's carried Osemedico, every burden that you could bear right to the throne room of God. Somebody's got to help me. Oh, somebody's got to help me, church. How many of you mean business? You want to see this break that this church is facing. You want to see this move that this church is facing. Why don't you stand up, a few of you that mean that? Don't do it if you don't mean it. I'm going to be a prayer warrior. I'm going to groan in the Holy Ghost. I'm going to let God get a hold of me until I'm a man, a woman of great intercession and great... Oh, my God. Hallelujah. Somebody help me pray. Praise him and help me love him. We're going to see the hand of God, church. The Holy Cassandra Corbury Andema. Renee, the Holy Ghost has told me without a question that he has a Holy Ghost, a revival awaiting this congregation and this building. He's told me you didn't build this building for 25 or 30 or 50 or even 100 people. You built this building for a Holy Ghost breakthrough that will bring great results to our city and will spread to churches all over the world. Brother Chambers, that's not prophecy. I say it is prophecy. God's got something in store for us. You may be seated. God's got some plans. I prophesy to you this morning. Now listen to me. I prophesy to you. A Holy Ghost revival is right on the breakthrough. Right in the horizon. right about the breakthrough. It's coming in all of the splendor of heaven. He's going to shake us to the core of our being. And what we need more than anything else is everybody in here to get a burden, to get a hold of this thing, to get your heart set on it, to get your mind set on it, to quit playing games, quit being hard to get along with, quit being negative. We're just human beings. I'm just like you. I have to have help. So, obey God. Keep your hand up there, Sister Leona. I love it. Somebody else ought to be standing. Hallelujah. God wants to give this place a sovereign move, but it don't come by human power. It is not something of this old flesh. It is not something we can do and create with our abilities and wisdom. It's got to be God. It's got to be God. Got to be God, Derek. Got to be God. And there, you say, Brother Chambers, you mentioned a preacher. I didn't name nobody. Most of you have no idea who it is. Probably not over two or three of you even know. It don't matter. Forget it. Don't name it. Don't talk about it. I just want you to understand, there are so many enemies that are determined to stop this church. If you could know the powers that are determined to put us out of business, to put us on the side of defeat. They are there. But I got news for you. They're not going to fail. They're not going to prosper. They're going to fail. They're going to fail. But the sooner it can happen is dependent on you. Oh, I felt that. The sooner it can happen is up to you. Somebody's got to get a hold of this. Somebody's got to get a hold of God. Somebody's got to turn yourself over and start being this kind of prayer warrior. Are you willing? If you're willing, get up off your seat and get on your feet and say, I'm going to be one of them. I'm going to learn to groan in the Holy Ghost. I'm going to learn to pray until the Holy Ghost prays. I'm going to be a power for my church. I'm going to see a Holy Ghost revival come to Charlotte, North Carolina. Oh, somebody raise a hand and pray all with all your heart, will you? Throw yourself out to God. He got a heart on no summer. Oh, Laverne, God wants to use you, lady. God wants to use you, lady. Hallelujah. God wants to use you. God wants to use you, Sister Hope. He wants to use you mightily. Sister Yvette, God wants to use you. Bob, God wants to use you to move that whole family of the Lindsay people. Oh, the whole family. God wants you to be a mighty blessing. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Sister Marilyn, he wants to use you among the Spanish. Sister Gloria, he wants to use you among the Spanish. They need a Holy Ghost revival. They need a Holy Ghost visitation. And God alone is able to give it. And somebody's got to groan in the Holy Ghost. Somebody's got to groan in the Holy Ghost. You may be seated if you can. Now, I got to take you to some instances in the Bible when this kind of life was touching the world. Do you know the Old Testament? The Old Testament has some of this. Did you know that? The Old Testament has some of this. Go with me to Jeremiah. Go with me to Jeremiah. Let's take a moment here. We're not in a hurry. And go to chapter 9 and verse 1. Listen to this. This is an exact testimony of what I've just been preaching. Jeremiah 9:1. Oh, that my head were waters, and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughters of my people. Jeremiah was just the kind of person I'm preaching to you about this morning. He was an old-fashioned Buck Lindsay. He was an old-fashioned Buck Lindsay. He was an old prophet of God. That was Israel's voice from God. Israel's voice from God. And Jeremiah is under the load. And he's learning how to pray. And he says, oh, that my head were waters, and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughters of my people. There are hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, let me tell you something. When a man reaches the place that he loves the kingdom of God, he loves the work of the church, he loves what God's doing enough that he's willing to weep day and night, that's groaning, friend. You can't call it nothing but Holy Ghost groaning. He was an Old Testament prophet, but those Old Testament prophets were full of the Holy Ghost. Oh, it was a matter that didn't happen a lot. Only a few that God chose had the Holy Ghost then. But Jeremiah was full of the Holy Ghost. And so really, humbly, you can see it, weeping day and night. How long is it? Now, I'm going to be careful here. I'm going to be careful. I'm trying to be careful. How long has it been since you got down to pray and all you could do was squall? How long has it been since you wept so hard that your family come in to check on you? How long has it been since you wept so hard that your children thought maybe you was about to lose it? How long has it been until you mothers squalled and cried out to God with the burden of your children? Do you understand? There's some people that think all children are going to go in that rapture. But I'm here to tell you, according to my Bible, the only kids that are going to go in the rapture are those sanctified by either mother or daddy. I got a daughter up in Maine. Granddaughter, I'm sorry. And she's so burdened about her home and her two girls. That sister Ginger, she's beginning to pray for God to get her ready and so sanctified that if Jesus comes, she can take them girls with her. And she's, I mean, it'll scare you to death. You say, Brother Chambers, you tell me that I'm gonna have to take my children with me, or you're gonna have to stay here with them during the tribulation and try to find the money to feed them. How many of you know how many children there are right now in the world under the 12 years of age? How many in the world under the 12 years of age? 1,500,000,000 minimal. It's really more than that. I was being careful with my figuring and my calculation. 1,000,000,000? 500,000,000? Can you imagine if what the liberals say, that all of them are going to go in the rapture? Can you imagine if 1,500,000,000 every nursery cleaned out, every hospital children's department cleaned out, every home, no children left there under the teenage years? I mean, every one of them go. Can you imagine what would happen to this world? Can you imagine the absolute hysteria? The absolute, I'm telling you, this world would go bonkers. The news media would go bonkers. The liberal educators would go bonkers when they realize all of them were gone. But they really aren't going to go, in my understanding. But mamas and daddies are going to have to feed them during the tribulation period. And the only way you'll be able to feed them is take the mark of the beast. And it's hell for all of you. Brother Chambers, you're scaring me to death. I want to scare you for one reason, that you'll fall on your face and start crying out to God. Brother Chambers, how in the world can I become a person who prays in the Holy Ghost? Do you know I have the scripture for you? I have the scripture for you. Go with me to the Song of Solomon. Go with me to the Song of Solomon. This is probably one of the greatest scriptures I've ever read. It got a hold of me some weeks ago. Brother Marlin may remember. The book of Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 4. Chapter 1, verse 4. Listen to this. Solomon was an Old Testament man, but he was a great godly man. He did some terrible things, but God forgave him and used him. And listen what he says in Solomon, Song of Solomon 1 and 4. Draw me We will run after thee. Draw me. Now, you got to hear those words like I heard them from the Holy Ghost. Draw me. And then we will run after thee. Do you know, for you to pray in the groaning of the Holy Ghost, you're going to have to depend on the Holy Ghost to do it in you. And you can't do it on yourself. You can't just suddenly say, I'm going to start groaning and praying out in the Holy Ghost and get on your knees and tears start rolling. No, not likely. Not with me. It hadn't been that way. It took me several weeks, Brother Derek, of crying out with this scripture on my mind. God, you know how I wanted to pray, but I can't seem to pray with the kind of power I want to pray with. God, I try to cry out to you, and it don't seem like I can get the right emotion and the right energy to get a hold of me. And God took me to this scripture. And I said, whoa, God, that's wonderful. In other words, this is not something I can do on my own. You got to help me do it. He said, that's what I'm showing it to you. So I start saying, Lord, draw me. I start begging God, Sister Beth, to draw me. I start crying out to God, God, I want to be a prayer warrior like I've never been. And if I'm going to be that, you got to do it in me. I can't do it in myself. Somebody help me. Raise our hand, will you? Oh, run. And so I start crying out week after week. Draw me. How many times you hear me quote that verse? Dozens of times. And lately, the last few weeks, the Holy Ghost has been drawing me. And I just squall before him. Are you hearing me this morning? I'm telling you, Solomon got a vision from God. This is written by the Holy Ghost. You understand that, don't you? You understand the Bible is all given by the Holy Ghost. It wasn't Solomon who came up with these words. It was the Holy Ghost who came up with these words. And the Holy Ghost through Solomon cried out, draw me. We will run after thee. Hallelujah. You want to run after God? That's what groaning in the Holy Ghost is. It's running after God. It's running after God. Now listen to this. Draw me. We will run after thee. Now notice. The king hath brought me into his chambers. You got to hear that now. Draw me. Solomon says to God by the Holy Ghost. And we will run. I will run after thee. And as he runs after God, then God takes him into the chamber of the king. That's God's presence. That's the holy place. That's the holy temple. Oh, close at my drama. I know I'm already over time. I understand. But listen to me this morning. God is reaching for you. Sister Leona, God wants to use you, lady. I'm telling you, a mighty God. You know the devil's fought your heart, hasn't he? I've felt it. I've felt it. Renee, I've felt it from you too. I've been praying for you. You know, I called you this week. You're on my heart. Brother Bob, I've been praying for you. God wants to make something special out of you. You hear me? Hear me? Hear me? God wants to do some things in this place like we've never seen. I'm trying to bring it to a close. But I want you to remember that Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 4. How many got that in your mind? Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 4. Draw me. We will run after thee. And then the king took me by the hand. Give me your hand. Stand up here. He cried out to God. He said, draw me, God. I want to run after you. And God began to draw him. And he started running. The king took him into the king's chamber. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He didn't go in there on his own. He went there because the Holy Ghost was carrying him in there. Hallelujah. 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 You want to go to the king's chamber? How many of you like to spend a few hours in the king's chamber? Let me see you if you'd like to spend a few hours in the king's chamber. Well, cry out to him to help you. Understand you can't. Everybody stand, please. You can't do it on your own. Oh, Sister Marlon, God wants to use you. Oh, hear me. Hear me, Francis. Hear me, Francis, Esther, Joseph. God's got you young people in mind. Did you know that? He's got something for you. He has Renee. Renee is a precious little lady, full of stubbornness, a mile long and 10 feet wide, right? But God's breaking it. Stretch your hand toward Renee. I claim a miracle in Renee's life. You're changing her. You're working in her. I see it. I see it happening. Hallelujah. I want to tell you something, church. We're on the verge of something fantastic. So good to have this couple here this morning. Are you one of our mothers? School mothers? No, you're just business. God bless your heart. Can I lay my hand on you? Father, touch this dad and mom. Are y'all saved? You're saved, but you're not. Are you ready? You ought to get ready, Dad. Oh, praise God. Just pray for them. I don't know their names, but God knows, and we love them. We treat everybody the best we know how. All right, now, hands raised. I'm ready to groan in the Holy Ghost. If God will help me. I'm ready. I don't know how to end the sermon this morning. All I know how to tell you is that God's got a plan, and God's plan is so much bigger than Joe Chambers or Marlon Clark or anybody in this building. And God wants to do something for us that's absolutely grand. I want every man in this building to come up here to this altar. Every man. Every man. Fellas, you men are supposed to be, you're supposed to be the head of this place. You're supposed to carry the burden of this place. Now I want you to stretch your hand toward him. I want you to stretch your hand toward him. Face the altar, if you would. Face the cross. God, I pray for these men. Now keep the distance, but I want the ladies to come and stand behind them. Hey, the couple that's here, visitors, come on down if you like. We'll treat you just like one of us, okay? Step out, sir. Now, ladies, come and stand back now. Keep your 6 feet, okay? I'm demanding that. I'm not asking, I'm demanding. Unless it's a husband or wife. If it's a husband or wife, you can stand right beside them. That's fine. Otherwise, you stand back. Hopefully, come, my father. Come, Marilyn.
Open wide. Oh, I'm gonna sing redemption's story.